all of these figures, they prove exactly what I said before. Whites are decreasing and decreasing, both in white countries and in the world as a whole, and we are being replaced in our own countries. And in the long run, if this is not stopped, we will be extinct.
Hello and welcome to Leadership Perspective, the official podcast of the Nordic Resistance Movement. This is episode number 19. My name is Fredrik Weideland, and with me, as always, the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement, Simon Lindberg. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
And how are you doing?
I'm very fine, thanks. Yes, I'm just good. Maybe better than you. I heard you had some cough before. I hope it do not get worse during the recording.
Yes, I actually got the corona.
Uh-huh.
Lost. So, yeah. But it is no biggie at all. Mm. So.
Yeah.
It came, had some headache and some coughing still, but yeah. Mm. 24 hours later, it was, it is more or less gone, so.
Mm, yeah. Yes, yes. So, no vaccine for you then?
No. I will not
now you don't
take
need
the vaccine.
It anyway.
No.
I actually have just a short mention before you start with Weideland's introduction. And I just want to mention that I got a English teacher since a couple of episodes back ago. And she tells me afterwards some small things, what I did wrong and so on, so that I can learn from it and hopefully be able to give all our listeners a better experience. So for this shout out to Annette, and thanks for the help with this. And with that being done, I also think it's about time we give a shout out to our loyal co-producer, David. So thanks both of you comrades for making Leadership Perspective a better podcast. Thanks.
Yeah, it was not just us.
No, exactly. So they earn some cred as well, especially David.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting to see how your English have developed.
Yeah.
Yes, and regarding the introduction, yes, usually I spend the introduction talking about something that concerns the Nordic Resistance Movement, of course. This time I want to talk a little bit about our friends in the Patriot Front. As most of you all already know, Patriot Front has had a leak that has led to several, or perhaps even many, I don't know, of their members being doxxed. I do not intend to go into much more detail on this here, but if someone wants to know more about this story, I recommend our sister podcast, Nordic Frontier, which addresses this topic in episode 217, I think. So, security measures are, of course, fundamental in an organization that resists a seemingly invincible system that has all the resources. So I do not want to relativize anything here, but it is precisely that we are fighting against a seemingly invincible system that has all the resources that we cannot be 100% protected from being doxxed. There is no 100% guarantees for that. A security service can, for example, gain access to information, which is then given to an Antifa-linked hacker group that publishes the information. In Sweden, the security police cooperated with Antifa's leader for several years, which we know because one of the leaders later admitted it publicly, and certainly still does today. They have had informal meetings throughout the years. The system can also go in and help people financially if they receive information in return, meaning that they use police informants. We all know that this sort of things exist. So those who want to be anonymous must know that their anonymity will probably not last forever unless you belong to a very small group that does not resist that much. But Patriot Front, they are resisting the system and are very good at it, so they become a target. Same with the Nordic Resistance Movement, and the external pressure on us is higher, significantly higher on us. So if you want to be anonymous in the struggle, you should, on a personal basis, also take security measures. For example, delete all the social media accounts that are linked to you, use pseudonyms, never be seen in pictures, never stand before the photographer. If you do things like this, you might be able to manage. But what you should above all do is prepare for the fact that you will someday be doxxed. It can be 2 years in the future, or it could be 5 years. It could be due to a leak, or you are caught by the police and then end up in the register, or it could happen by some mistake of your own. There are practical things that one should have devised in case, but the most important thing is mental preparation. You do not have to go around worrying and thinking the worst all the time, but every now and then you need to actually think the thought. If the doxing still comes as a shock, do not panic. If you act in panic, you will do stupid things like become a defector or start behaving submissively when you have to be strong. Take a step back and gather yourself. The worst has already happened, and the strong feelings of your surroundings will cool down quite quickly. People quickly forget when they get a new sitcom to think about or some actual issues in their own lives. And do not feel guilty. You have nothing to feel guilty about. And lastly, unite with others who is or has been in the same situation. Speak out to them. These are some of the tips I can give. I do not really speak from personal experience, but I have seen members of the Nordic Resistance Movement who have ended up in this situation during the 25 years I have been active in the movement. But I too have been doxxed partly in a case, and that happened, I think, 5 years ago. And well, you know, I've been public since the beginning, but for many years my name only appeared on our webpages and on Antifa's. So, but one day, like lightning from above, I was slandered in one of the biggest newspapers in Sweden as evil itself. I came in with my kids to the grocery store in my hometown and saw myself on the front page. And this was a totally new experience, even though I was already public. And it can also be pointed out that I live in a rather small town. So, of course, I got a lump in my stomach and felt all the looks on me when I went into the store. But when I came out, the lump was gone. And the only thing I felt was, damn, how nice. Now everyone knows about it. And in addition to this liberating feeling, many people have since come to me to talk about immigration and things like that, because they know who I am and they know that they can talk to me. So it's beneficial in more than one way. And the reason I did not have any major problems being doxxed in this matter was due to mental preparation. I had thought that this doxxing must come someday, and I had already before the attitude that I'm not in any way ashamed of who I am or what I do. So, and also do know that there are others who have been in the same situation. You are not alone, and reach out to them. So yes, that was something I wanted to say about this. Do you have any takes on this, Simo Lindberg?
Yes, I have a couple of things I want to say. First of all, I want to, since I had this shout out to the co-producer and to my new English teacher, I also definitely want to give a big shout out to Patriot Front. I think we have talked somewhat about them before here in Leadership Perspective, but I do believe that they are a very good organization. I have followed them since they were created, and I like what I see. I like the development. They are street active, they are radical, and they use good propaganda, like in videos and so on. So to all our American listeners, it could be a good alternative to check out Patriot Front if you want to get organized. And of course, you want to get organized. If you listen to Leadership Perspective, you must feel the pressure to get organized, since we talk about it a lot here. So that's the first thing. And I also had a brief chat with the Patriot Front after this leak, and but they said to me that things are all right, actually. There is no big problems at all.
That's good.
Yeah. And secondly, except for that, and just because you talked about when you were doxxed by the big established media, I also
yeah. Bonnier Media.
Yeah, by Bonnier, the Jewish media in Sweden. Yeah. I also must mention how it was for me. I have also always been public. I've never been afraid or ashamed or trying to hide my personal beliefs. And I also, from a quite young age, was very infamous in the city where I came from, Kristianstad in southern Sweden. So many people in my age already knew who I was. There was like stories going on about me already when I was like 16, 17 or something. Everybody knew me or thought they knew me somehow. But with this being said, it's still a big step from that to the thing you talk about, Veidlund, that I definitely recognize myself with when you see your own face and name on the established media, on the Jewish papers. And that happened as a choice by myself, because the first time I was on the front page was when I participated in a big interview with Kristianstadsbladet. Because I was running for the election with a party back then called Nationalsocialistisk Front, National Socialist Front. And I was the first name on the community list. So therefore, I made an interview with the local press. So they put me with a big, big picture on the front page and, you know, some really evil headline. He wants to take over the country, crush the democracy, or whatever it was.
Yeah. It was the same for me. The headline is one thing also, because the headline is not just like, I don't know, here is Fredrik Veidlund, blah, blah, blah. But here is the evil that wants to destroy the democracy, or
yeah,
the criminal, or yeah, something like that.
Yeah, of course. No, so it was my own choice. I was not doxxed in that kind of way. I doxxed myself also through the Jewish paper. It was a Bonnier paper, that as well. Bonnier own most of the media in Sweden. So, but still, even though I was prepared for it, I still recognize the feeling you said you had when you see yourself with this. It's a special feeling, but of course, it's not something bad about it in the long run, as you say. It's only positive. I agree with that as well. So.
Yeah, like I said, I had the feeling when I went into the grocery store, because I saw the papers there. And then when I went out 10 minutes later, it was all fine, actually. I'm not lying. It was all fine. No problem.
Yeah. And then it has happened after that as well, when I have not been prepared. And there is some time when it has been quite funny, because, you know, I remember one time I was standing in the line in the grocery store buying something. And when I was in the line to get to the cashier, there I saw the papers, and there it was my face and some evil headline. So I didn't see it until then, when I was in you know, in the line to pay. So that was a little shock, but still it's just like, wow, okay, all right. And then and then everything is fine again.
What's the lesson here? Don't be that afraid of being doxxed, and prepare yourself, and you can move on.
Yes, and I mean, the reason we're in this is for the struggle to save our people, of course, and in the end, that is worth most repression you can think of, if not all repression you can think of. And see it as a positive point. See it as something good for the cause, because it is. Just like you say, Weidland, people get a face, a person they can talk with about things that they do not dare to talk with about others, and so on. And it's a good way to recruit people, actually, that you are doxxed, that you are open in your society with who you are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Moving on to what has happened in the struggle since the last episode, and that is from the beginning of December until now, when we are recording in the end of January.
Yes, my long point again, where I talk most, I think, during the whole episode. But yes, during this period, there has been somewhere between 150 to 200 activities around the Nordic countries. And actually, it feels like I always say these numbers in every episode, 150 to 200 activities. So someone might think they are made up, but I actually count the activities before every episode is being recorded. However, I do count roughly. So I get an idea of what the number might be instead of spending an hour or so counting to an exact number. But roughly I count, and I always get the same number. So I guess around three activities a day is our standard, and that adds up to 150 to 200 activities in 2 months, just like it did also this time. Sometimes it has been a little less than that, sometimes it has been a little bit more than that, but that is the standard, you can say. But yeah, 150 to 200 activities, where I am happy to say that during this period, many of them have been public activities, both public banners activities, and also several street activities in a lot of different towns with leaflets. And that has been done in both Sweden and in Norway. And if I'm going to tell you, as usual, about the best activities carried out, I think that I will start in the wrong end today. We will start in Finland. And we will start with activities done by other nationalists, people that are not part of the Nordic resistance movement, since we are banned in Finland. And also, the activities was actually done right before the last episode of Leadership Perspective was released, but it was after it was recorded, so it wasn't reported there. Anyway, on the day before the Finnish Independence Day, the activist organization Pojan Vartio, that we really like, they had a banner activity outside of the Finnish parliament with flares and a huge banner. And it looked really, really nice from the pictures I've seen from there. Then on the day after that, on 6/12, the Independence Day, traditions were followed, and therefore there were two different demonstrations held in Helsinki the same day. Firstly, they held a national political demonstration where several hundreds of activists participated, including members from the Black and Blue movement. As mentioned before here on Leadership Perspective, also this is a organization that we think very highly of. And then after this successful demonstration, there was a Torchlit March, and there was over 1,000 participants at this one. So things were like they used to be in Finland on 6/12, and I personally really love 6/12, and I have participated several years, and I have also held speeches there. But due to the, excuse my French, but due to the fucking corona restrictions, I sadly missed it this time. I really hope I can make it this year, though. It's always a nice atmosphere there, and there are loads of really good fighters in Finland that I can't wait to meet again. So, yeah, hope to be able to get there this year, and hope to maybe see some of your listeners there. However, it's almost a year. It's 6th of December, but still. In Norway, there was a nice public activity in the city of Sarpsborg, where they put up a monument for the faceless victims of multiculturalism. And then they laid down roses by this monument, and then they had a public activity in front of this monument where they handed out flyers to people who walked by. So trying a little different approach there with the public activity, not just handing out flyers, but also having this monument. And with that said, we continue to Sweden. The patriot Daniel Wretström, that probably many of you have heard about, he was murdered by racial foreigners 21 years ago, and he was celebrated on his death day with activism, as well as some guys were at his grave and laid down flowers there. In Stockholm, in the middle of the hectic commercialism right before Christmas, a confetti action was done at two different shopping malls. One of them is the biggest one in all of Scandinavia. In these two places, activists threw out small pieces of paper all over the place with the address to our Swedish webpage and the positive message, love your people. So that was nice to see. Also right before Christmas, just some day after the confetti action, I believe, there was a few other really nice activities being carried out where Christmas presents, food and clothes were handed out to homeless Swedes in four different cities. National Socialism and Folkgemeinschaft taken into practice on the streets. And the needing homeless Swedes, they were very, very thankful, and also they were very angry with the system, since they feel that the system give Arabs and Africans everything, but that these Swedes receive nothing other than betrayal. Then, if we go on to just a few days ago, on the Holocaust Remembrance Day, there, of course, as always, were activities carried out in several different cities. The most interesting one being an activity in Stockholm again, where there is a Holocaust Museum. On the doors and windows, there were put up posters made to look like their own official posters. And the posters were stating that the museum now is closed because that they discovered that the Holocaust is a lie, and that they soon will reopen a new museum dedicated toward the greatness of the white race.
Oy vey.
Yeah, right. No, very nice job. Very nice job. I love when they think outside of the box, and they really did with this one. So that was really great. Otherwise, I must say that these last couple of months has revolved a lot around vaccine passports. First, there was a big activity held all over the Nordic countries in support of Danish workers after the Danish government declared that it is okay for employers to fire employees that either can't or won't show vaccine passports. And I understand, I must put this in some kind of context, global context maybe, because I understand that for many of our listeners, this maybe won't seem like such a big deal, since the workers' rights in, for example, USA are terrible anyway. But in the Nordic countries, and especially in Sweden, we actually have quite good conditions for the workers. And this is due to the fact that the Social Democrats here copied the policies from National Socialist Germany. And according to our rights, to be able to fire someone for not getting the experiment vaccine for COVID-19 is truly disturbing and well worth resisting. So outside of the Danish embassy in Stockholm and in Oslo, public protest activities were held. Also by the ferry station in Helsingborg, as well as at the train station in Malmö, where you could travel to Denmark, public protest actions were held. And by the ferry station in Gothenburg and by the side of the road to Öresundsbron, where you can drive between Sweden and Denmark, signs were put up. And in Denmark, there were put up posters in several different cities. And all of this happened on the same day. Other than this excellent day, there has been a couple of public street activities with banners stating that the Nordic Resistance Movement clearly says no to vaccine passports for COVID-19. And then the weekend before this is being recorded, we gathered a good group of our members and participated in a massive demonstration in Stockholm with the same message, no to vaccine passports. And in Stockholm, we found a perfect spot for the 10,000 demonstrators to see our banners. And we also handed out flyers, loads of flyers, and we got to have many good conversations with supporters. We got membership applications and cash donations on site. And we also got loads of publicity in the established media, and we're talked about absolutely everywhere. So I would say that the whole thing was a huge success, and I can say without doubt that this has been the best activity so far this year. Much of the year is to come, and I really hope we do even better many times, but so far this is the best activity for us. And even here, maybe I must put it in a global context, 10,000 people in a demonstration maybe do not sound that much. I have heard about COVID protests with hundreds of thousands of people in other countries, but you have to remember that Sweden is a quite small country. We only have around 10 million people living here. And also, it's a very, very large country where you have to travel. For example, in Germany, wherever in Germany a demonstration is being held, you don't have as many miles to travel to get there. But in Sweden, it can be hundreds of miles to get to a demonstration. So 10,000 demonstrators in Sweden is a really, really impressive number, I must say.
Yes, it 10,000, I think it's the biggest demonstration for, I don't know, 20, 30 years, perhaps. So it was a very big demonstration in Sweden. And as you said, people, we got a very good response from people. Our guys just handed out flyers. More or less everyone that came by took a leaflet and wanted to speak with us. And very good response.
There were actually people coming back again and saying, hey, can I get another one for my friend? That's quite unusual.
Yeah.
But really, really good activity. So the best so far this year, as I said. But also for the report, there has been a couple of very interesting happenings that do not directly regard activism, but has given us media publicity anyway. First of all, I want to mention that I was once again listed as one of the world's 20 most dangerous people by the Jewish-controlled NGO Counter-Extremism Project. And this time, except for the list itself, there was also a hilarious information text. It was so filled with lies about me as a person and about the movement as a whole, so that it was almost ridiculous. But anyway, once again, I thank you for the great honor of being recognized as a horror to the rulers of the world. And by the way, I also want to send my best regards to Robert Rundo, that was also on the list and that actually had a higher placement than me. So I lift my hat. Very well done, Mr. Rondo, and Rise Above Movement.
Yeah, very good. But you have to be more terroristic to get higher on the list.
Yes. The trick is to do it without using any violence, any crimes at all. Just with words being as terroristic as you can be. But I will work on it.
Yes.
Yes. And on that note, you could say, while we're on the topic, we also got a lot of attention when Per Öberg from the Swedish leadership of the Nordic Resistance Movement was called as a witness on a trial of the infamous lifetime convicted mass shooter Anders Behring Breivik. It was not as dramatic as it may sound, though. It was a very short hearing where he got a question if he was open to the idea of conducting mail correspondence with Breivik, and if Breivik were ever to be released, would he be welcome as a member in the Nordic Resistance Movement? So it was not a very important statement, maybe, but however, this is a controversial and infected topic, and therefore it made the headlines in all papers. Per Öberg defends Breivik, and I guess another oy vey on that one. This is totally fake news, however, since this was not what the hearing was about. The hearing was not at all about Per Öberg defending Breivik or his actions. It was just about these questions that I said. And with this being said, I can also just briefly add that the Nordic Resistance Movement do not celebrate what Anders Behring Breivik did on Utøya 2011, but we do, however, understand why people follow through with desperate action in these desperate times. And we do also think that the killings done in the name of America, in the name of Israel, and in the name of NATO is at least as bad as the killings done by Breivik. Still, he is in prison, probably for the rest of his lives, while the imperialists of the Western world get their chests filled with medals.
Like after the Second World War II, always been a thing with the liberals and the Jews defending their mass murders.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that was what I wanted to say about that. There was also a TV documentary released about us on Viaplay, but I will not talk that much about it. First of all, I've already talked so much about it in podcasts and in articles and everything, but also I know that we will talk at least a little bit about this later, so I will let it be for now at least. Lastly, though, on the report, I just want to mention that due to some strange things that happened that we hopefully can talk more detail about in the future, our Icelandic branch of the Nordic Resistance Movement now could be found on the address nordorvigi.se. So instead of nordorvigi.net, now you can reach our Icelanders on nordorvigi.se. Please spread this information to anyone you think might need it. nordorvigi.se. Yes, that was all on the report.
Yes, and then we will talk about the documentary you spoke about. We're moving on to the ideological, tactical, philosophical question. So a couple of weeks ago, the streaming service Viaplay released a really filthy and anti-nationalist documentary series called Surrounded by Enemies, in which you, Lindberg, and some other members of the Nordic Resistance Movement participate. Part of the purpose of the documentary series is to explain that the Great Replacement is just a conspiracy theory. In the previous episode of Leadership Perspective, where we talked about conspiracy theories, you mentioned that the Great Replacement is hardly a theory without absolute facts and truth. Since Viaplay streaming service and the documentary Surrounded by Enemies are still available in Norway, Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, and Poland, in addition to Sweden, I thought we should take the opportunity to respond to this question. But first, I just wanted to ask, do you recommend the listeners of Leadership Perspective to watch Surrounded by Enemies?
Actually, I do not. It is a classic piece of shifty, propagandistic, anti-white established media production filled to the brim with nasty angling, horror music, and lies. Of course, it could have been even worse, since at least me and some other members of the Nordic Resistance Movement gets to speak our mind a little, at least. And also, there are some small clips from our demonstrations and other activities being shown. So, not everything is all bad, but for every good minute in the series, there is at least 10 bad. So, overall, to summarize it, it is still shit. If you find a way to watch it for free, and you are very aware, prepared, and awake to the fact that this is mainly fake news bullshit with the purpose to make us look as bad as possible, or if you fast forward through the whole series and then only press play when it is the scenes with us participating in, then of course you could kill a few hours watching it. But please do not pay any money to Viasat to see this, at least. That is my recommendation.
Very good. So, yeah, that was really just a bonus question. But now to the important thing. What is The Great Replacement?
The Great Replacement is what is happening around us in most white countries around the world right now, and also has been going on for the last decades. It is happening with different intensity in different countries, but it is happening for a fact. And the whole core of The Great Replacement is made of three steps, you could say. The first one is that less white people are being born each year, and the number that dies is greater. Therefore, the white race slowly but surely will decrease in numbers and in the end tragically perish. And if that happens, it is the same as when all other species end up extinct on the planet, totally irreversible. The second step is that the opposite development is happening in Africa, the Arab countries, and also parts of South America and Asia. Here, the number of people is constantly growing. The number of babies being born is greater than the number of people that dies. So, the number of white people in white countries as well as in the world as a whole is being decreased, while the numbers of brown, black, and yellow people are increasing in white countries as well as in the world as a whole. Because the third step is to add the first two steps together and then solve the problem by moving large numbers of people from Africa, Arab countries, Asia, and South America into the white countries. So white people are being replaced by other races. It is an ongoing, slow but steady genocide on the white race and the whole world as we know it. Also, of course, it is not like everything will be perfect and then one day we will suddenly be extinct. No, on the way there, while we are decreasing and being replaced, we will have to live as a smaller and smaller minority, surrounded by foreigners that will control the streets as well as the society as a whole in ways that are favorable to them and not to us. So The Great Replacement is an ongoing hell that will get worse for white people by the minute and end up with us all being a note in the history book alongside the dinosaurs.
But are there some real evidence, maybe some figures, to back all of this up?
Yes, of course. For humanity, and therefore also for our race to survive, every woman needs to give birth to 2.1 children on average. Then statistically, the number of people being born and the number that dies is equally large each year, and thus the race maintain at the size as it is. So 2.1 is the magical number. And if we take a look at Sweden, because that is where I live, so start there. Here, the last available statistics, 1.66 children are being born on average per woman. 1.66. If we look at Great Britain, the figure is 1.65. In Germany, 1.54. In Russia, 1.50. And so on. The highest fertility rate in Europe is in France. But even there, the highest number in all Europe, it is as low as 1.87, so quite much below the 2.1 also there. If we go outside of Europe, in Australia it's 1.66, in Canada it's 1.47, in America it's 1.7, and so on. Everywhere, in all white countries all over the world, there are less children being born per woman than the necessary 2.1. However, reality is even worse than this, because this is not exclusively the rates among the indigenous white people. No, this is the rate for the citizens in the country as a whole. And as you know, in all of these countries, there are a lot of racial foreigners nowadays. Foreigners that actually rise the figure compared to the whites. And then also the children of mixed race are included in these figures, and they are also contributing to the genocide of our race, not the salvation. So things are actually looking really bad for whites if we do not start having more white babies. And if we also then take a look at some international figures of non-white people, and just take some example, we can see that the Somali women give birth to 6.0 children on average. In Niger, the figure is the highest in the world with 6.8. In Uganda, it's 4.8. And if we move outside of Africa, in Afghanistan, it's 4.3. In Iraq, it's 3.6. In Pakistan, it's 3.5. In Guatemala, it's 2.8. In Philippines, it's 2.5. In Ecuador, 2.4. In India, 2.2. In Israel, and not counting Palestine, in Israel, it's 3.0. So things are looking real bad for the planet as a whole if these birth rates continue. The world is getting even more overpopulated when it comes to non-white people. And on top of this, on top of all this, as it was not bad enough already, Sweden is taking in around 50,000 immigrants each year of foreign race. We're taking more immigrants, but of foreign race, I would say it's around 50,000 each year. And the total indigenous white population in Sweden is around 7 to 8 million, which means that racial foreigners grows by almost a percentage each year, not taking in account the ones being born in Sweden by racial foreign citizens. So we are being replaced, and in a quite fast pace, I would say. And I actually do not know the immigration figures for other white countries around the world right now, but I can tell you for sure that in many countries it do not look bright at all. Many countries are as worse as Sweden. Maybe some others are not as bad as Sweden, but still, it looks very alarming also there. And all of these figures, they prove exactly what I said before. Whites are decreasing and decreasing, both in white countries and in the world as a whole. And we are being replaced in our own countries. And in the long run, if this is not stopped, we will be extinct.
Okay, but why is it important for our people to survive?
This is a question that could be answered in several different ways. If you are white yourself, and you most likely are as you're listening to this pro-white podcast, it is very sick that it is even a question that needs to be answered. Our deepest rooted instinct as a human being is our very survival. That we reproduce in order to survive over generations. And of course, it's also not natural to travel thousands and thousands of miles to reproduce. No, instead, you do it with someone living nearby. And you also naturally prefer a partner that looks at least a bit as you do, so that you can recognize yourself looking at your children. That's just nature. We are born with a thrive to survive as a people. It's the most natural thing in the world. An instinct that now is being questioned by white people that has been brainwashed by cultural Marxism. In most other races, the instinct is intact. It's almost exclusively among whites that has been brainwashed by preaching about feminism, materialism, and climate guilt, where the instinct is gone. So the first answer to the question is, because it is the meaning of life, and without it, life has no meaning at all. We could also go further by looking at the importance of the survival of the white race in a global context. Then we can use the green argument that biological diversity is important in itself. Just as we want pandas or tigers to survive, there is a value in that white people survive. Also, white people are one of nature's creations, and therefore we deserve to live. And if you ask me, us whites are actually the most amazing of all nature's creations. So I would say we definitely deserve to survive. And lastly, but maybe most important of all, actually, I would like to point out how important white people have been throughout history. Most great civilizations was founded by us. Most amazing discoveries and mind-blowing inventions were made by us. The most astonishing high culture was grown by us. The world would be a very sad, dull, and gray place without us whites. Maybe even the survival of the planet as a whole and the whole humanity is threatened without altruistic, intelligent, and creative white people.
Yeah. The term, the Great Replacement, is also the name of Christchurch shooter Brenton Tarrant's manifesto. Why do you think he chose this name, and what does his deed have to do with the Great Replacement?
Brenton Tarrant talks about the genocide of the white race in his manifest. He talks about the Great Replacement, the things I have talked about here, and that the shootings he conducted was justified by him as a way to save the white race from being replaced. He tried to kill as many non-whites as he could without harming any whites. Maybe to somewhat balance the numbers, you can say. Of course, in a very, very small scale, but he probably hoped for that others would follow him. And I understand the thoughts of Tarrant. I agree with his ideological stand in this question, that the white race must be saved, and that the only way to do this is to act. But at the same time, the execution, how he went on to trying to solve the problem, is not anywhere near the way I think is the best way to go. I think we must do this as the Nordic Resistance Movement does, and inspire our people to stand up and fight back.
Yeah, but it's not that strange to see that people take measures like Brenton Tarrant did, because this is a white genocide, and this mass immigration have resulted in a lot of human suffering to all of us, to the Swedes, to the New Zealands, to the Australians, to the British, Americans, and well, the rulers know that, we know that, and yeah, it's not that strange. But as you said, we should work organized, legally, do stuff like the Nordic Resistance Movement.
Yes, go the long way to solve the problem, but also the more secure way.
Yeah.
I also understand, of course, as I said before, I understand even why Breivik did the things he did, even though I do not hail them. So I definitely understand Brenton Tarrant as well. But if we look at it now, he is a lifetime in jail, Brenton Tarrant. Probably never be released. And what did he accomplish for the great cause?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not strange, as I said, because we have not chose this mass immigration, this white genocide.
Mm.
It's disgusting.
Mm. Absolutely.
So, yeah, and regarding disgusting people, who is behind the Great Replacement and why?
Yeah. All right. Actually, I must start by saying that here we actually touch on some conspiracy theories anyway. There is no doubt whatsoever about that the Great Replacement is being conducted. I want to be very clear with that. Every figure I have mentioned so far is the truth. We are being replaced. No question about it. Right here, right now, this is happening. However, when it comes to who is behind it and why, I must say that there are not any 100% bulletproof facts. But according to what I believe, after major studying of the topic, high prominent Jews and filthy non-Jewish capitalists that are in cooperation with the high prominent Jews are the ones behind this. According to the old religious scriptures of Judaism and what has been preached by many rabbis during the years since, the Jews are God's chosen people. They are the righteous rulers of the world. And all other races are created to serve as slaves to them. However, white people, the true goyims, we also stand in their way of world domination. Today, globalists rule major parts of the world with their empire of banks, media, social medias, pornography and entertainment, and so on. However, they are not satisfied because they want total control. And also, of course, like any power mongers, they are afraid of losing their power. And as we whites rule the world 100 years ago or so, before they manipulated us, before they stole the power from our hands, then of course they are most afraid of us. We are their biggest threat. To reach full world domination, they must firstly get rid of us. And they did not grab the power by swords and bullets, nor did they do it because they showed that they were better suited to rule. No, they took the power with propaganda, with lies and brainwash, by infiltrating and taking over our societies and spreading poison from within. And of course, they will not try to get rid of their threat with swords and bullets now either. No, instead, they continue the way they started. They destroy us with even more propaganda, lies, and brainwash, with even more poison being spilled among us. So they encourage white women to be feminists and have less babies because they need to focus on their careers. They encourage white men to watch porn and use drugs so that they are less capable of having babies. They tell us all, no matter what gender we are, that everything that matters in life is yourself. You should always do what is best for yourself right here today, no matter what it may cost for the planet, for the humanity, for our people, for the future. No, instead, just buy more stuff and don't waste your life and wealth on dolphins as babies. Heck, if you are gay so that you can't even have any babies, it is even better. Also, they preach tolerance, that we have some kind of responsibility to stand here with open arms to every foreigner that ever knocks on our country borders. They preach pacifism, that even if our women are being raped, even if our sons are being beaten and robbed, even if our whole race die, we should just turn the other cheek. And then they pour money on the Africans, on the Arabs, making even more of them survive. Actually, it gives too many people a chance to survive, so that there is not room or resources for them in Africa anymore. It's just the hard fact, the hard truth. So with one hand, they say, hey Arabs, hey Africans, you should look out for yourselves. Get to Europe and your lives will be totally amazing. And with this trick, they take many of them, leave their motherland and look for happiness and wealth in our countries. Then with the other hand, they use their military power to destabilize the third world so that even more people are forced to flee. Of course, they then encourage also them to go all over the world and end up in Europe instead of just going to their neighboring countries. And then, ta-da, the Great Replacement is here. Because the Great Replacement is the perfect plan to get rid of the white race without them even understanding that they are being replaced and nevertheless fight back. And at the same time, they create an easy controlled mixed slave race that can take care of them when they declare that they are the rulers of the world. So this is very easily explained and hopefully also easily understood. But on behalf of the Swedish hate speech laws, I must also, of course, be very clear, adding that I do not at all believe that all Jews are working on behalf of the Great Replacement, and I do not believe that only Jews are involved in the Great Replacement. So is that being said. But I also want a little add-on more. I want to repeat what I said in the last episode when we talked about conspiracy theories, and that is that I want to stretch that I do not believe in some Illuminati kind of world order where all the ones involved in the Great Replacement meet up and talk about their next step in some dark cellar where they're also drinking blood from kidnapped Aryan babies and hail to some reptile Satan. No, I rather believe that this whole plan is a silent understanding spread through culture and spread through religion, a group evolutionary strategy, and through peer pressure, bribes, and bullying.
Yeah, I don't believe that either. But it's also, the Jews don't have to say to the white globalists that now we're going to destroy the white race, going to do this white genocide. But the globalists also think this is a good thing because they want mass immigration, they want more consumers to their products or their sitcoms, their entertainment or whatever. Banks, they want more interest rates, slaves, and also the banks are mostly Jewish, of course. But yeah, they have a common ground. They are open about it sometimes, actually, but they don't have to be, because they benefit, both the Jews and the globalists benefits from it. And of course, the politicians, they get rewarded from these kind of people. So
yeah, otherwise, yes. It's connected with media. I mean, if you are not... if you do not support these plans as a politician, you will never be heard or seen anywhere because the media will shut you out and so on. So it's very connected, everything, even though it's not a single organization or a single cell that is conducting all of this.
Yeah. and the media in Sweden. I just want to say this. I think it's the Jewish powered ownership in so-called Swedish media. It's they have more power in Sweden over Swedish media than American. I think it's insane here.
Mm. Yeah.
But the Jews own the media all around the Western world,
yeah,
more or less.
Media is not very nice in America either, we can say, for sure. We can see that with Donald Trump, for example.
Yeah, but they have Fox News, but of course the guy behind that is also a Zionist, but non-Jewish Zionist.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. And also regarding feminism, you can see how our enemies are really effective in their psychological warfare. And one of the biggest weapon here is feminism. And I think in Sweden we live in some kind of matriarchy. Of sorts, but there are still a lot of people that don't like feminism. But they think that is feminism is more or less harmless or something to laugh about or perhaps something to get annoyed with. But it's diabolical. Feminism makes Western world women want to live Sex and the City lives and there are conflicts with the men, lesser stable families, and stuff like that, and of course, not that much white children. So, yeah, I think it's very thought out feminism, actually.
Yes, I have stated that, and I believe it, of course, that feminism is the most successful part of cultural Marxism. It's the,
yeah.
I mean, cultural Marxism is like a spider web where the poison is spread in many different directions. But I think feminism is where they are most successful. They have really made it spread among Nordic women. I guess white women all over the world, actually, but maybe especially Nordic Swedish women, maybe also. And it is as bad so that we can also see the poison even among some nationalist women who get
yes.
the whole thing about racial survival and wants to fight the system and everything, but they're still poisoned with these feminist ideas. They are rooted in their core somehow.
Mm.
So it's as you say, it's diabolic, it's very, very serious.
Yeah, and they use the power they get from this matriarchy to combat the men.
Yeah, it sounds much like we need to have an episode on feminism soon on Leadership Perspective. We have had it on the Swedish Leda Perspective, but yeah, I guess we have a lot more to talk about this subject.
Yeah, we do. Yes, so... last question. What should we do to be able to counteract the Great Replacement?
Yes, I believe there are five things we need to do. A list with five things that must be done, and the sooner the better. Step one, have more white babies. Step two, stop racial foreign immigration to white countries. Step three, repatriate or at least segregate a majority of the racial foreigners that already are living in the white countries. Step four, stop pouring money over Africa and let them take care of themselves instead, in harmony with nature. Step five, take back the power from the globalists, crush cultural Marxism, and reinstate natural, sound, and white values into our culture and our society once again. This is the IKEA instruction manual on how it all must be done. And in order to be able to do any of this, we must get organized and we must make more people understand what is going on and help them to join us and grab their swords, joining us in the struggle. So as always, the first step for you to take is easy, and you know it by now. Join or support your local national socialist organization and get busy fighting for the survival and freedom of our magnificent race. And at the same time as you are doing this, at the same time as you're active on the streets, organized in a national socialist organization, get yourself a white partner and breed a brighter and whiter world.
Very good. Yes, so thus we end this episode of Leadership Perspective.
Yes.
Questions and suggestions on topics for future episodes of Leadership Perspective can be sent to info@nordicresistancemovement.org. We do also appreciate both negative and positive feedback. Please spread this episode on social medias and help the Nordic Resistance Movement in any way you can. And you can read more on our webpage nordicresistancemovement.org. Next episode will be out on the 30th of March. See you then. Bye-bye.
Take care, everyone. Goodbye.